sure everybody does. Turn to Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter 8. I've already got a blessing being here this morning, already. I tell you what that little lady down there has, we all need a good dose of. Somebody that's not ashamed to stand up and praise the Lord. And I notice as we travel across churches and seeing in different churches across the country that we're losing our shout a lot of places. We're losing our fire like that. There's a lot of people, they just want to sit out there and stare at the preacher and just say, bless me if you can. And I know Jake likes to say that when we go to churches because it's true. It's true. That seems to be the normal thing now, just sit there and try to soak it up. We need to shout a little bit. We got something to shout about. We got something to get excited about. You know, I used to go to camp meetings and stuff everywhere, and I still do, you know, camp meetings like this one where people can still get excited about the Lord, and that fires me up. You know, there's not a lot of young people my age and younger, and you know, especially in the teenage world today, there's not a lot of young people that really want to have anything to do with church. Want to have anything to do with the things of God. And it's sad when you go into a church and, you know, it seems like in 20 years the church won't be there. But I'm glad to come to a place where young people can still get excited about God. Because there's something to be excited about. You know, this morning I was looking through my Bible and trying to think what I would preach if he asked me to. And I thought, you know, there's going to be a lot of pastors here today, a lot of preachers, a lot of people in the ministry. And if there's anybody today in this world who is hurting and who has been hurt and who is feeling more than ever the attacks of Satan, it's those who are in the ministry. Those who are pastoring churches and have been there for 20, 30 years, or maybe you just started a church and I know Brother Clyde back there just started a church recently. And I'm sure in the last year, Brother Clyde, you've already seen the old devil attack in a lot of ways. He's on the prowl. He knows his time's limited. So he's giving it everything he's got. So for just a few minutes here, I won't be very long at all. There's a lot of people in here that could preach circles around me. I just want to preach a message that maybe will be an encouragement to you. And I want to start off by reading a poem that I'm sure most of you have heard in here before. We've all heard it growing up. And some of you probably have it memorized and could quote it. But I want to read it to you this morning. I want you to really listen to the words and think about it. It's going to lead right into my message. It goes like this. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks, he cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar. A dollar, now who'll make it two? $2. And who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going and gone, but no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as an angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what am I bidding for the old violin? And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, we do not quite understand. What changed its worth? And the man replied, the touch of the master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune and battered and torn with sin is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes And the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that was wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. Where would any of us be this morning without the touch of the Master's hand? It's the hand that can touch the hardest of sinners and make them the purest of God's servants. It's the hand that can take the blackest heart and make it white as snow. The hand that can take our impossible situations and work everything out to our good. I'm talking this morning about the touch of the Master's hand. Look here in Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 1. Here we're going to see the Master's hand, number 1, in the cure. In the cure. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I love these words right here. Jesus put forth his hand. Now, does the Bible say that Jesus looked at him and said, whoa, you're unclean, stay back there. I can heal you from here. He could have. The Lord could have said, the Lord could have healed him from anywhere. Did the Lord say anything like that? No, he didn't. The Lord, the Bible says, touched him. He didn't care. He wasn't too good. This is the God of heaven, but he wasn't too good to get down and touch a leper. And it makes me wonder, where do we think we're too good to get down sometimes and put our arm around a sinner? Where do we sometimes get off thinking that we're too good to go down there in the alley and put our arm around that drug addict, around that homeless person, around that drunkard? Where do we think we're too good when the Master himself reached out and touched that leper? He said, I will, be thou clean, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This is just one example in this book of the time when it was the Master's hand that was the cure. In Matthew 8:15, it was the touch of the Master's hand that caused the fever to flee from Peter's mother-in-law. In Matthew 9:6, it was the touch of the Master's hand that healed the man sick of the palsy. In Mark 5:41, it was the Master's hand that raised the daughter of Jairus from the clutches of death and silenced the mocking crowd. In Mark 8:23, it was the touch of the Master's hand that caused blind Bartimaeus to receive his sight. In Luke 22:51, it was the touch of the Master's hand that healed the ear of a soldier who was coming to take him away to be killed. What compassion. What love. That can only be found in the touch of the Master's hand. We've seen the touch of the Master's hand in our lives personally. I don't know if any of you remember my brother Samuel. Some of you, he was the one right under me. And probably the last time many of you saw him, he was just a little guy. But do any of you in here remember, Brother Klein, you'll remember. Do you remember when my brother Sam was struggling with Tourette syndrome? Some of you remember that. Our family would go and we would sing in a church. And you know, brother, this is making me think about that little girl right now. We would go, we would sing in a church and we'd get up and sing, and Sam would try to hold, you know, hit what they call ticks. He would try to hold it in as long as he could when he was up singing. And then he would get down, and my dad, for the remainder of the service, would have to take him either out back or back behind the baptistry so that he could unleash all these things that he couldn't control, you know, punching and hollering out and stuff like that. And it just broke my parents' heart. They didn't know what to do about it. Kind of like that woman in the Bible, they sought many physicians and they called people and talked to people, and they said, there is no cure for Tourette syndrome. There's some things we can do to maybe kind of dampen it a little bit, but, you know, we saw things on television about grown men who were just out of control, and they couldn't help it. But people began to pray. All over this country, people began to pray for my brother Sam. And you know something? Today, Samuel is married. He's got a little girl. He's an assistant pastor in Alabama, and the Tourette syndrome is gone. It's gone. Hey, the doctors, they didn't know, but it's gone. And then I remember when my sister Charity, just a few years back, some of you remember Charity probably being a little bitty girl. Well, she's as tall as I am now. Charity all of a sudden began to have terrible pain in her arms, in her legs, And they didn't know what was going on. Mom and Dad took her to the University of Iowa. It's supposed to be, you know, one of the premier medical universities. They took her there and they spent money that I could not believe a place could even charge for that kind of stuff. My dad paid on it a huge amount every month for years and years and years and just finally paid it off. But they examined her and did test after test. And you know what the results were when they came back after all that money and all those tests? They told my parents, we don't know what she's got. That's what they told them. We don't know. But somebody knew. And I can remember going to churches, and sometimes we'd just stop into even some huge churches in America, and we'd just slip in the back on our way from places. They didn't know we were there. On a Wednesday night or something, I'd hear them read off their prayer requests, and they would read off Charity's name. They were praying for her all over the country. And let me tell you something. When the doctors didn't know, the great physician knew. And I called Charity when I was studying for this message several months ago. And I said, hey, Charity, let me just ask you a question. Do you ever still have problems with that pain? It was something to do in her bone, some kind of soft spots. They had no idea what it was. And they said, there's nothing we can do to treat it. I said, how's that coming along? She said, John, I haven't felt anything for years. You know what does that? The touch of the Master's hand. The touch of the Master's hand in the cure. Hey, doctors are great, and I'm glad we've got them. But there's nothing like the great physician. I saw a bumper sticker, and you've probably seen it. It says, when all else fails, try Jesus. And I thought, boy, that sounds pretty good. And then I thought, no, it doesn't. Why not try Jesus first? Then nothing else will have to fail. Amen. Number two, we see the touch of the Master's hand in the calm. Some of you pastors in here today, how does that word sound to you? Calm. I'm not going to read the passage, but several different places in the Bible, we see that. We find them in that boat, and the boat's rocking, and they're scared for their life, and they wake up Jesus. He was down there just sleeping. He was down there just peacefully sleeping. They woke him up, and he stepped up, and he put out his hand, and he rebuked the storm, and the Bible says there was a great calm. Let me tell you something. The only way you're going to get calm and peace in this world today of turmoil that we have is through the touch of the Master's hand. I'm not going to dwell on that point. I'll move on. The touch of the Master's hand in the cure and the calm. We see the touch of the Master's hand in the chastising. This is one we don't like to talk about too much. But I heard a fellow say one time, he said, we like what God does for us, but we don't like what God does to us. But let me tell you something, that chastising, that's just all a part of it. Because the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. I know my dad loved me, but there were times I thought he hated me. And you know, have you ever heard these people say, whenever their parents were getting ready to give them a whooping, we don't call it spankings, brother, we call it whoopings. And I just recently found out what time out meant. I never even heard of that. You need to take a time out. I never heard of that. All I heard was go to the back bedroom. I'd walk in there and he'd whip that belt off and he'd lay into me. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't pleasant. But I forgot where I was going with that now. But anyway, the chastising. I know my dad loved me. But he proved that by chastening me. Because he wanted me to do right. And you know, there's a lot of us in here today that maybe we've done something that we know is wrong before God. And he's chastening us for it right now. And we know it. Maybe you're in here today and you know you're going through the chastising of God right now. Just remember this. It's because he loves you. And it's the same Master's hand that's going to reach out and cure your sickness. And is going to reach out and bring calm to your life. That's the same hand that's chastising you. It's because he loves you. He truly loves you. I'll move on to my last point here. I'm trying to go fast so that we can get some people up here that really know how to preach. The fourth point is this. We see the touch of the Master's hand in the cross. William Dixon lived in Brackenthwaite, England, if I'm even saying that right. He was a widower who had lost his only son. He lived next door to a grandma who lived there with her grandson. One day their place caught on fire. And everyone was standing out there, and this young boy was stuck up in the second story window. And the firemen were looking. They couldn't figure out a way to get up there and get him. And William Dixon, without hesitation, ran over, and there was some kind of a pipe going up the side of the house, and he grabbed hold of that pipe, which was burning hot, climbed up there and rescued that little boy. And in the process, his hands were just totally just scarred and ruined. Time went on and the elderly grandmother passed away and this little boy was put up for adoption. There were two people that wanted this little boy. One was William Dixon. He had some history. Another was a fellow who was very well established in the community, a nice man. Everybody loved him. He wanted the young man too. Well, they both appeared before the city council to argue their case of why they should get this young man and adopt him to be their son. The place was packed. People were sitting there waiting to see what the fate of this young boy would be. The first man stood up and he began to tell how he could offer this boy this great education, what he could do for him, what kind of a home he could give him, how he was established. Presented a tremendous case. And he sat down. The council looked at William Dixon and they said, "Okay, sir, it's your turn." I love this. William Dixon stood up and he never said one word. All he did was just held up his hands. And they gave the boy to him for adoption. Let me tell you something. There was a battle going on for our soul. Over here was Satan. Oh, he wanted us. He wanted to take each and every one of us and he wanted to drag us down to the bottomless pit with him someday. He was fighting. He was giving it everything he got. He wanted our soul. But over here was the master. And when it came his turn, he just held up his hands. Nail-scarred hands. Hands that bore the print of the cross. And guess what? Every one of you in here today who have accepted him as your personal Savior, you made it worth the cross. You made it worth everything that he endured because he wants you. He loves you. And we see the touch of the Master's hand in the cross. We see that hand as it was laid out there and that Roman hammer took that big spike and just drove it through his hand, drove it through his feet and plunged that spear into his side. But he did it so that one day we could live with him. And so that we could walk this earth spreading the gospel of the Master who can touch any need in your life. I don't know what your need is this morning. I don't know. Some of you in here may need a cure. We prayed for a young lady this morning who needs a cure. And I want to tell you, I know somebody that can cure. They said that surgery may be out of the, not even an option. That's what the earthly doctors say. But I've heard those words before in my own family. So we need to keep praying for her. But we have a master who can cure. A master who can bring a calm. A master who sometimes is going to chastise us. But a master who went to the cross for us. And he paid our debt. And whatever your need is this morning, you can find the answer in the touch of the Master's hand. God bless you.